WTF WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Donald Trump is quickly putting his cabinet together. His latest choice, Cantor Fitzgerald, CEO Howard Lutnick, to serve as Commerce Secretary. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Lutnick became known in the aftermath of the September 11th attacks. Cantor Fitzgerald's offices were in the World Trade Center's North Tower, and the firm lost hundreds of employees, including Lutnick's own brother.
Ukraine Today used long-range U.S. missiles inside Russia for the first time. Russian President Putin promised to lower his country's nuclear threshold. At the Pentagon, spokeswoman Sabrina Singh.
It's the same irresponsible rhetoric that we've seen before and that we've seen, frankly, for the past 2 years.
The U.S. envoy held talks in Lebanon today to try to win the fighting between Israel and Hezbollah. At the State Department, spokesman Matthew Miller.
An agreement is within reach, but it's going to take decisions by both parties.
CBS News Brief. I'm Cammy McCormick.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reporting a strong bounce back for this fall's bear harvest. According to a press release, bear hunters harvested nearly 4,300 bears during the five-week hunting season this fall, a significant increase over the nearly 3,000 that were harvested last year. Officials say that even though fewer bear hunting licenses were awarded this year, the hunter success rate went up by about 6% over the five-year average. The Northwest Wisconsin hunting zones had an especially strong season. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call is pushing for stronger efforts to block robocallers. According to a press release, a coalition of 46 attorneys general are asking the Federal Communications Commission to improve their robocall mitigation database. The coalition says the FCC hasn't done enough to prevent bad actors from registering in their database, allowing those bad actors to submit unvetted information and face no consequences for filing false or misleading information. Call is a member of the Anti-Robocall Litigation Task Force. The city of Eau Claire has announced that Wednesday will be the last day of the regular season at the Green Waste Facility on Jeffers Road. According to a social media post, the facility is typically open from mid-April to mid-November and offers residents the chance to dispose of green waste like leaves and grass clippings on a pay-as-you-go or seasonal pass basis. The facility will be open until 6 p.m. on Wednesday. City officials also noted that the Green Waste Facility will reopen in late December for the Merry Mulch Christmas Tree Program. The Altoona Police Department has received some national recognition after being awarded by the Commission on Accreditation for Law Enforcement Agencies for ensuring public safety. Law enforcement officials say the recognition is one of the highest honors a law enforcement department can receive, with Altoona joining just three other departments in the state of Wisconsin with the accreditation. They say the multi-year process of receiving the recognition shows their constant commitment to ensuring the safety of everyone in their community. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Who's next at Wisconsin? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. We told you after losing to Oregon, the Badgers fired their offensive coordinator, Phil Longo, after just two seasons. So who will replace him? Head coach Luke Fickell asked at a press conference.
Just who's going to be calling plays for the rest of the season and why that particular person?
Why does it matter? Right. I mean, the offense will, be run and those guys will do a lot of things collaboratively together. And I don't think it really is important as to who is calling it. I guess it gives you the ability to point a finger at somebody if that's the case. But it's not one of those things I think is that important. Sometimes I think it's overrated in some ways. But it'll be a collaborative group and those guys will have to work a lot together.
College hoops, Wisconsin with another win, 87-84 over Texas Rio Grande Valley. The Badgers undefeated at 5-0. The Bucks with a win, 101-100 over the Houston Rockets. Thanks to a gutsy layup by Damian Lillard.
It comes down to who's going to make the plays, and I thought tonight in that last stretch we was the one to make the plays.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Cloudy skies and blustery today. Wind gusts as high as 35 miles per hour. Early afternoon highs in the mid-50s with temps falling into the upper 40s by late afternoon. For tonight, still on the blustery side with clearing skies, lows in the lower 30s. It's 48 degrees at our studios.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else.
pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Don from Milwaukee.
I enjoy your show. Right now, at a time like this, you are great therapy for me. I don't know what I'd do without you guys.
We enjoy you as well. That's the importance of Civic Media and this platform. And Sandy and I take this seriously. We're going to continue to do whatever it is we can to make sure that people like you continue to get your voices heard.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
On the next show, we'll talk about getting the lead out of our water with Flat and the campaign for lead-free water. Then I'll be joined by Dr. Robert Craig from Citizen Action.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for listening. You can be a part of this fine production, 855-752-4842. Just PS on the board, on the horn. And we got Maggie Dawn because it is Tuesday. It is overtime with Maggie Dawn. You can check her out 2 to 4 p.m. here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Maggie, thanks for sticking around. Good to see you.
Good to see you too, Dom. Happy to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. You had a great interview today. And if you missed it, go check out the podcast, civicmedia.us. Jeff Mandel from Law Forward. And the topic of that conversation I want to briefly touch on with you, Maggie. Former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman facing disciplinary complaint tied to the 2020 election probe. Now, this is the guy that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss apparently
handpicked,
and then later was really, really, really felt bad about that because he's not a great guy. Felt bad about that pick, apparently. But there were repercussions from this guy, not only spending millions of dollars, but also violating pretty much every ethics code a judge may have. A little bit from the reporting here, the complaint alleges Gableman made public accusations of improper, possibly unlawful activity by the Madison mayor and the Green Bay mayor. And the complaint says, quote, Gableman had no tangible, verifiable, objective, persuasive evidence to support his assertions. Gableman's accusations caused serious reputational damage to the public officials involved. Maggie, I know Jeff Mandel had some thoughts on this, and I'm glad that this is finally coming to fruition. It has been some time since Law Forward filed their complaint, but now it looks like this is something's happening here, Maggie. So what's your take?
Jeff, I think, put it best, and I completely agreed with his bottom line assessment. First, Jeff pointed out that the attorney code of ethics that attorneys must agree to abide by in the state of Wisconsin is extremely long and detailed. And by Jeff's summary, he said that Michael Gableman basically violated every single sentence
Come on.
Of the attorney's ethical oath. This does not, I mean, the fact that his violations are that numerous and extensive, given all of the public reporting, and I'm sure there are some things that the OLR uncovered in its own investigation, surprises me not one whit.
So what's the best case scenario here? I mean, of the things that I've heard, I have no doubt that he violated those ethical standards. I mean, the guy wanted to, you know, bring people in, confiscate their property, and, you know, interview them behind closed doors at the strip mall that he was at in order to, you know, push this BS theory. And I think that's the underlying thing that bothers me the most. This was all an effort, a false effort to cast shade on our election process. Maggie, what would you like to see happen in this case?
I'd like Michael Gableman to be disbarred. There's no question that the man should be disbarred. If this was any other attorney and it was about any other set of issues or conduct, there's no question the lawyer would have been disbarred. And that the OLR probably would have initiated an investigation on its own without a catalyzing complaint, which is what Jeff Mandel and Law Forward did. They filed that, back in March of 2023. Any other lawyer in any other circumstance with this litany of violations would without a doubt be disbarred. You cannot lie to courts repeatedly. You cannot withhold evidence. You cannot intimidate people. You cannot threaten it was basically sort of, he didn't specify like a particular threat, but overall demeanor. He said some really disparaging things about women on a hot mic in a court hearing. Absolutely abhorrent behavior. He had conflicts of interest he didn't disclose. He submitted false affidavits.
You're an attorney.
Which
you're not
kind
supposed
of
to
lie and like, right. Yep, he did it in an affidavit and testimony, behaved like a horse's patoot in hearings. He was disruptive. Again, false statements, sworn statements to the assembly itself. Oh, seizing property from the mayors of Green Bay and Madison, which is sort of what
I mean,
led
how
to some
authoritarian, man. Yeah. I mean, this is like a little Trumpster, got a little fiefdom going on down here. According to the OLR complaint, Gableman filed petitions containing false statements when he attempted to seize property, as you mentioned, Maggie, from the mayors of Green Bay and Madison. I mean, right off the bat, under what authority do you have Mr. Gableman grab anybody's property ever? Made false statements to and withheld information from a state assembly committee regarding the responses from Green Bay and Madison mayors to subpoenas issued to them, engaged in the disruptive behavior at a June 2021 court hearing, as you mentioned, false statements about the integrity of a judge, false derogatory and demeaning public statements about opposing counsel, violated the state's open records law, accepted his role in the probe without disclosing conflicts of interest, abandoned his duty to former clients by publicly promoting efforts to recall Voss, and submitted a false affidavit to the OLR, who is making the complaint. I mean, when you're like lying to the watchdog about the lies that you did over the years, I think you're in pretty deep guano there. So the worst case or best case for us, worst case for Gableman, Maggie, is he can get disbarred. Any fines, any criminal activity associated with this?
This is not criminal. This is a purely civil matter that's only and exclusively about attorney licensure. There could potentially be a monetary penalty. He destroyed records. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And let me just say this. Full disclosure, I think had 3 or 4 complaints filed against me over the course of my 21-year career as a lawyer in the state of Wisconsin. 3 of them were ticked off opposing counsel in my capacity as Milwaukee County's chief legal officer, which were just, and frankly, 2 of the lawyers that filed those weren't really fully... I won't even go there. There were issues with the quality of the lawyering from the other side. Sure. I am the head of the office, so they filed a complaint. 2, I didn't even have to respond to. 1, I did. And these things sometimes happen. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
But even when I knew the complaints were utterly unmeritorious. Oh, and the 4th one I had was I helped a friend get a temporary restraining order against her abusive husband. He happened to be a sheriff's deputy, and so he yielded a weapon. And as in the course of the TRO, he has to give up the gun. And he was very angry about that because it got him fired. And anyways, he came after me in the OLR. But even in these cases where my disciplinary complaints were utterly meritless, I took them seriously. I responded candidly. I provided all of the information and then some that was requested. I didn't exaggerate. I didn't dare mislead the OLR. This is serious stuff. And also in full candor, if anybody Googles me, I once got suspended. My license was suspended in the state of Wisconsin because I failed to file during COVID the required paperwork to demonstrate my compliance with the continuing legal educational requirements.
Maggie, paperwork crimes.
And they rip. Yeah, my license was suspended. It's like an administrative suspension. Okay, did we get your paperwork? Okay, now it's. But like that tells you this stuff matters. Right. And even then, I took that really seriously. I hired a lawyer that does all like ethics compliance to. Because I care about this. I didn't go willy-nilly. I share all of that, one, in the interest of full disclosure so nobody can call me a hypocrite, but two, to share with all of you out there and you, Dom, like, this stuff matters. It's serious. And the impunity with which Michael Gableman has conducted himself at all points in time in his run to be a Supreme Court justice, which led to his first disciplinary investigation, right?
Mm-hmm.
His conduct of the investigation itself, his conduct in court, his conduct before the legislature, and apparently his very responses to the OLR investigation indicates a guy that thinks that he can do whatever the hell he wants. And I don't care what side of the bread your political bread is buttered on, that kind of behavior is bad for democracy, and it is bad for each and every one of you.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is the award-winning host, Maggie Dawn, from the Maggie Dawn Show, 2 to 4 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Apparently, according to, I think it was Jesse Point at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Voss could not be reached for comment. But earlier this year, he told WSN-TV's Upfront that he hoped Gableman would be disbarred. Now, this is Robin Voss, the Republican who hired him after jumping on a plane with Trump to put him in charge and gave him basically an open checkbook, millions of dollars spent. My understanding, Gableman spent the first few months in the library because he didn't know what was going on while he's cashing the checks as the supposed expert. How much responsibility does Robin Voss and the Republicans and ultimately MAGAs and Trump, do you think, bear in this issue?
From a moral perspective, their responsibility is equal to, if not greater than, Mr. Gableman's. Mr. Gableman was facially completely unqualified to conduct this investigation. Selection of Mr. Gableman was not based on his qualifications. His selection by Assembly Speaker Voss was because the guy was unhinged, out of control, intimidating. By the way, his first ethics complaint dealt with what I'm going to call like really abhorrent behavior and judgment. Yeah, that's why they picked him, because the guy will do and say anything. It was to find someone who doesn't care what the rules are to engage in a partisan big lie about the election. All Robin Voss needed to do was do what he knew to be true on the facts and tell people the election was fair and transparent and nothing was wrong. Instead, he decided to light a million plus taxpayer dollars, your dollars, on fire to have a loose cannon with no business in an investigation let loose on our election processes and let loose against our neighbors and friends that staff our election systems across the state. Shame.
Or as perhaps Megan would say, if Matt Gaetz doesn't work out, the next Attorney General of the United States, Michael Gableman. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That's Megan Dawn. We got Jess P.S. on the board coming back with more. Yes, we have what? Mace, a congresswoman, Nancy Mace from South Carolina. Well, she's got lots of big plans at the Capitol. Stick around.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail, and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Tom, your thoughts.
I don't believe that people don't know who Trump is at this point, and they have willfully decided to ignore everything he has said in order to vote what they think is the most important thing. And that's what voting is all about. But you can't claim ignorance when it comes time that Trump is going to pull the trigger and do some things that are going to hurt you and your family. That's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Back to the Dom Selvia Show, 855-752-4842. We got overtime with Maggie Dawn. She's sticking around for one more segment. You check her show out on the Civic Media Radio Network, 2 to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday's podcast available at civicmedia.us. Maggie, before we went to break, mentioned Rep. Nancy Mace from South Carolina introducing a resolution to ban transgender women from female bathrooms in the Capitol, apparently just 2 weeks after Democrat Sarah McBride of Delaware became the first openly trans person elected to Congress. Now, while McBride has not yet joined Congress, she'll be among the freshman class being sworn in on January. Mace's resolution would amend House rules to block McBride and any other trans person visiting the Capitol from using bathrooms associated with their gender identity. We have some sound of Nancy. Let's hear what Nancy had to say.
Sure.
Is this effort in response to Congresswoman McBride's coming to Congress?
Yes, and absolutely, and then some. I'm not going to stand for a man. If someone with a penis is in the women's locker room, that's not okay. And I'm a victim of abuse myself. I'm a rape survivor. I have PTSD from the abuse I've suffered at the hands of a man. And I know how vulnerable women and girls are in private spaces. So I'm absolutely 100% going to stand in the way of any man who wants to be in a women's restroom, in our locker rooms, in our changing rooms. I will be there fighting you every step of the way.
She goes on to say, Maggie, quote, "This is about women and our right to privacy, our right to safety. I'm not going to allow biological men into women's private spaces. It is the height of hypocrisy." Well, we saw lots of anti-trans ads, and now this continues. Maggie Dawn, your thoughts.
Hey, Nancy, how about you introduce a resolution to ban credibly accused sexual assaulters and rapists from using bathrooms in the Capitol? How about that?
I mean, then Trump and half of a cabinet wouldn't be able to use the restrooms there.
That would be interesting. Explode. Yeah. How about this? I just talked about in the last half hour of my show, the fact that in the last 4 weeks, I've been physically groped in public by three different men. In my 47 years, here's what's never happened to me. I've never been touched by a trans person without my consent. I've never been assaulted by a trans person. I've never been verbally assaulted by a trans person. And I know a number of trans people. That has never happened. So, Nancy, I respect the fact and acknowledge that you have suffered an assault, But why don't we be angry and direct our anger at the people who actually assault women? And that is men like Matt Gaetz, like Pete Hegseth, like Donald Trump, like Brett Kavanaugh. Let's be angry at the people that actually make women unsafe. If you care about women's safety, can we start with that?
And I got to throw in there, Maggie, we're adults. You know, we're adults. When we went to the DNC in Philly in 2016, there were shared bathrooms. Men, women, I mean, that you just went in and everyone was using the bathroom. Women were doing their makeup and men were using the stalls and or using the urinals. Whatever the case was, there were men and women in the bathroom. And oh, my goodness, nobody gave a damn. Everybody was just doing their thing because it's a bathroom and we are adults. So the bigotry continues with Nancy Mace and the MAGAs and Republicans. And specifically because McBride is now joining. And she doesn't want McBride to have any say in this. Of course, isn't this the whole point? Trans people, set aside. Go away. We don't want you here. You are not relevant here. We don't like you. We're uncomfortable by you. So therefore, we're going to demean you and make you the other. And it continues on.
And here's what I'll say about Nancy Mace. The word thirsty was invented for Nancy Mace. Her staff has turned over, I think, like almost two times in its entirety. She had directives that you need to get me on national news like once a week. This woman will say or do damn near anything to get attention. It's stupid. And the fact, I mean, there are institutions of higher learning where they have dormitories that are mixed men and women together, where the bathrooms are shared. Again,
yes.
It's the halls of Congress. Come on. I just, one of the things about Nancy Mace, and I've thought about covering her a number of times on my show, is that the I don't want to give any water to the thirsty gal.
Like, yeah, right.
You're ridiculous. She is a complete clown. She is generally considered a clown by other Republicans. She's considered a clown by her own staffers. When everyone that's, quote, on your team thinks you're ridiculous, I don't got time for that. Because Congress actually has some stuff to pay attention to and maybe worry about, and it ain't their bathrooms. You know what I'm saying? I don't think regular people in America, regular middle-class people, need Congress people worried about the bathrooms in Congress. I think that they want them worried about taxing billionaires more, getting money out of politics, and ending the corruption. Drain the swamp? Trump is building the swamp. Nancy, maybe pay attention there. And again, if you want to care about women's safety, why don't you look at the credibly accused sexual assaulters that have been nominated to lead some of our country's most important administrative departments? Shame.
And speaking of most important administrative departments, in the last 60 seconds, Maggie Dawn, your thoughts on the Duffmeister to run transportation. I don't know if you saw this. Dr. Oz, oh, yeah. To run Medicare and Medicaid agencies.
If you want your Medicare, Medicaid to go away, that's a good Dr. Oz move. He's never run anything in his entire life, let alone his own mouth well in a campaign. Here's what Sean Duffy's resume says. I was on The Real World, and then I ran multiple times in a gerrymandered deep, deep, deep ruby red district, and then became a Fox News host talking head. He's not a host. He just is on there. That's his entire qualification stream to become a cabinet level secretary. Whatever, Sean.
I can't wait to see what Donald Trump has in store for Nancy Mace and what cabinet position she may take on. Folks, that is Maggie Dawn. This is Overtime with Maggie Dawn, but work is done. You can check her out once again on the Civic Media Radio Network, Monday through Fridays, 2 to 4 p.m. preceding the show. Maggie, thank you once again. Have a great week. We'll talk real soon. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. I got to tell you, I'm in a mood. You're going to hear all about it on the other side.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Office of Lawyer Regulation has filed a 10-count complaint against former Wisconsin State Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman. The complaint involves Gableman's role investigating allegations of fraud in the 2020 election, a task for which he was hired and later fired by State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. It accuses Gableman of making false statements, disrupting a court hearing, questioning a judge's integrity, making derogatory remarks about opposing counsel, and violating open records laws. Gableman sat on the Supreme Court from 2008 to 2018. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection have announced the results of a study showing the state's consistent agricultural growth. According to a press release, the University of Wisconsin study showed over $115 billion of economic impact was generated from agricultural and food processing sources between 2017 and 2022. That's equivalent to about an 11% increase from prior years and represents over 14% of Wisconsin's overall economic output. Following a change in ownership and renovations, the Rice Lake Speedway was recognized at the Wissota National Awards Banquet. The Speedway was given the 2024 Wissota Award of Excellence in just the first year of new ownership. Executive Director Nikki Cook praised the new Speedway leadership for the significant improvements made to the track and their communication with the organization. Speedway officials say there are still more improvement projects underway, and they expect those projects to be finished by the start of the 2025 season. The city of Eau Claire is considering a reduction in the hours that City Hall is open as officials look to address budget constraints. Currently, City Hall is open from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, but officials say they've had trouble with fully staffing the building due to budget cuts in recent years. The city is currently asking residents for feedback through an online survey to narrow down what reduced hours would be most beneficial to the community. There will be no changes to the current City Hall hours until at least the new year. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Beauty in Black is Tyler Perry's new hit show. Although the show debuted to lukewarm reviews at under 50% on Rotten Tomatoes, viewers don't seem to care. The show nabbed 8.6 million viewers. If you're doing the math, that's 15.2 million eyes. Perry said he was excited the show is pulling in viewers worldwide to contrast criticism that Black entertainment does not have global appeal. He says Netflix has repeatedly proven it does. Speaking of Netflix, the streamer says 60 million households watched the highly touted, meaningless snooze fest referred to often as the Jake Paul Mike Tyson bout last Friday night. The 58-year-old Tyson lost an actual nail biter as he seemed to be trying to chew through his gloves most of the fight. Anyone who bet that Tyson's elderly legs would go after six punches cleaned up. Netflix says they wanted the broadcast to be a spectacle, and it was. If you like watching your TV buffer all night, just an awful event all the way around for fight and entertainment fans. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and breezy tonight with a low in the low 30s. Cold tomorrow, some flurries and snow showers in the morning. Cloudy and breezy again for the afternoon. High only mid-30s. Lingering flurries Wednesday night. Staying cloudy and blustery Thursday. Highs low 40s. Right now it's 48.
Matt and Air on Air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same?
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I've got a great guest host for you. Political editor of Civic Media, Dan Schaefer, takes the chair. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Just PS on the board, you on the horns as well. Join us at your convenience. I want to thank Maggie Dawn, a little overtime with Maggie Dawn here on Tuesdays. Once again, check her show out, 2 to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm just in a mood. I got to tell you, I got so many things. I feel like it should be Friday, like airing the grievances. I got a lot of things to say, and now you people are going to hear about it. Let's start with Trump's New York criminal trial. According to CBS News, President-elect Trump's six-year New York triple trial odyssey might need to continue at least another four, prosecutors said today. Lawyers for Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg wrote in a letter to Justice Juan Merchan that Trump should not be sentenced for his crimes until after he completes his second term in office. That would be the year 2029, more than a decade after the investigation into Trump's cover-up of hush money payment began.
Yeah, and that assumes a lot of things. Like, you know, he makes it to that 82 mark.
Or he doesn't do a third term.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we don't know.
We don't know. He's floated it.
Consideration must be given to various non-dismissal options that may address the any concerns raised by the pendency of a post-trial criminal proceeding during this presidency, such as deferral of all remaining criminal proceedings until after the end of the defendant's upcoming presidential term. Merchan had been slated to rule on November 12th on whether presidential immunity should have prevented jurors from seeing certain evidence at Trump's trial this spring, but he postponed his decision. Merchan said he wanted to hear from prosecutors about how to proceed in the case, which entered uncharted terrain when Trump was reelected president. Congratulations, folks. He got away with it. He freaking got away with it. He continues to get away with it. The criming, the grift, because butter was too high. And now he's going to what? He's going to put tariffs on everything, so he claims. I mean, that's his campaign promise. And he's going to, what, export, deport millions of workers that are employed in the dairy industry and the food service industry, construction industry, causing prices to rise if that is actually to come to fruition, breaking up families, causing strife. You're going to deploy the military in the streets of this country in that endeavor. And now the criminal continues to get away with it. What are the chances coming out at the end of 2029 that Donald Trump goes right out of the White House and into a jail cell? I mean, just for 30 days. I mean, even at that. Days. I mean, you know, you got to do something. Otherwise, why not? Everyone gets away with it. Oh, just go be president. Yep. It'll be fine. So there's the lesson, folks. All you little megas out there teaching all you little mega kids, just tell them. None of it matters. You can get away with it so long as you're rich, white, and powerful. And you can do whatever you want. And that will be rewarded not just in our judicial system, not just in our political system, but also in our journalism. Which brings us back to Joe and Mika. You know, when it came out that the Morning Joe crew went down to open communications with Trump at Mar-a-Lago, my initial reaction was, what?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm reactionary a lot. You know, sometimes I'll hear like a new song. I'm like, oh, I don't like that song. And then I hear a few more times. I'm like, oh, that's not so bad. So I want to give myself a little time to, you know, digest.
Sure, sat with it.
Yeah, you know. And I'm still a little angry about it.
Yeah.
And these are some super uber privileged right-wing leaning lefty talkers that decided that, what, they were concerned enough to go open communications with Trump. Some of the reporting, I believe this is from yesterday. Let's see here. Yes, from yesterday. They revealed they went to Mar-a-Lago. And a back and forth that the husband and co-wife scripted ahead of time. Did you see, we played a little bit of this. They literally went down like he had her part to say, or he had his part to say, she had her part to say. They scripted this thing. They knew there was going to be some blowback, and I think rightfully so. Scarborough said, we didn't see eye to eye on a lot of issues, and we told him so. But what we did agree on was to restart communications, suggesting that their behavior should be a model for others. So let's restart the communications with the biggest threat to democracy ever, the fascists. I mean, all the things that have been said by specifically Mika and Joe. And I'm not disagreeing with some of the terrible descriptions they laid on the man. I think it is apt and I think it is appropriate. But if that's the case, you're going to open lines of communication with the fascist? How does that work exactly? Updated reporting on this today. Brian Stelter over at CNN. Morning Joe meeting with Trump was driven by fears of retribution from incoming administration. Sources say, now this was from this morning, an update. Morning Joe co-host Scarborough and Brzezinski announced Monday in dramatic fashion they went to Mar-a-Lago. In private conversation, Scarborough argued that having FaceTime with a world leader is a no-brainer. Some of his MSNBC colleagues agreed, but there was more to the Mar-a-Lago meeting. According to two sources with direct knowledge of the matter, Scarborough and Brzezinski were credibly concerned that they could face governmental and legal harassment from the incoming Trump administration. Governmental and legal harassment.
So they went down to what? Make nice and say, hey, we'll be on your side. We'll cover you.
No,
nice.
We're just going to open up lines of communication.
Okay.
Knowing that Trump has threatened retribution against his perceived political opponents and that Trump has promoted lies about Scarborough and Brzezinski in the past, the MSNBC host decided to reach out to the president-elect, sources told CNN. The two sources generally agreed with Scarborough and Brzezinski's impression of the situation at hand, namely that the incoming Trump administration could use its wide-ranging powers to punish people deemed enemies. And parentheticals.
Oh, that's a long list.
Right. Trump ally Elon Musk wrote on X overnight in a post supporting Matt Gaetz for Attorney General that America needs Gaetz to put powerful bad actors in prison. Within MSNBC, one of the country's most prominent progressive media brands, there are a variety of opinions about what Trump and his allies might do. For that reason, there are a wide range of feelings about the Morning Joe meeting, according to a half a dozen employees who spoke on the condition of anonymity. Some hosts and employees took a real politic view, pardon me, of the matter, saying that access to the president-elect is a valuable part of reporting and covering the news. Others said the meeting was a troubling early sign of capitulation to a political leader who MSNBC has portrayed day after day as a would-be dictator. Shortly after the Mar-a-Lago meeting was publicized, lawyer and MSNBC host Katie Fang posted on social media, normalizing Trump is a bad idea, period. The post was widely perceived to be a response to Scarborough and Brzezinski. Monday morning's big reveal led some media observers to suspect that the Morning Joe hosts thought they might be singled out for political prosecutions. Other MSNBC personalities have also privately wondered if they would be targeted. There's more. You can find that at the CNN.com. All right. So what was it yesterday? A paraphrase. I think George Orwell, other people have apparently said this as well. You know, journalism is writing what people don't want to be written. Everything else is PR or everything else is marketing. You know, if you want friends, get a dog. You know, Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski are not worried about paying the cable bill. If there is somebody who has a national audience with a big network behind them, NBC, with the resources to pull it off, former conservative Joe Scarborough, whatever, you know, it's them. You are the people that are supposed to absolutely stand up to this guy. The dude said like 2 weeks ago, if people are going to shoot at Trump, he wouldn't mind if they shot through the media to get him. Yeah, I don't mind if they get shot. What? And you're going to go down there and kiss the ring, bend the knee, kiss some ass? Are you kidding me? Targeted for what? What did you do, Joe? We know Donald Trump has accused you of murdering your intern. We know Donald Trump has said Mika had a, when last time they visited back years ago, she came down and her face was all bloody from the bad face job she got, the plastic surgery. I mean, this is the kind of, this is what you want? This is more of this? You're going to normalize that? You're supposed to speak truth to power. And you got the money, you got the background, you got the credibility, and you're going to go down there and kiss his ass. And that just bothers me to no end. I mean, literally, are you really worried? You think Donald Trump, you think Matt Gaetz is going to send the stormtroopers into the studio? You think that's going to happen? I'd love to see it happen. Bring it on. I don't know if any of you know this, but I will remind you as a 13-year journalist and show host, I was unduly harassed and singled out by government when I was unconstitutionally arrested at the Wisconsin State Capitol for the crime of standing in the Capitol watching other people get arrested. Oh, yeah, that happened. That was back during the protest. I mean, it's after the main protest, but the Solidarity sing-along singers, they went there every day, noon to one, just to sing silly songs and harass Scott Walker, the governor at the time. And I was there to observe it. Week after week, day after day, we did this. And eventually, Walker and the Republicans got their undies in a bundle and decided to do something about the silly songs that were being directed at them. So they created or changed some administrative code to make it a violation. And, well, if you had this many people doing this and it was, you needed to get a permit to protest. Yeah, these Republicans, the Freedom Republicans, you got to get a permit to protest. Okay. Of course, the Solidarity sing-along, they were not going to have anything to do with that, and they weren't pulling a permit. And as time went on, it was getting more and more people. Well, finally, the Walker administration set up a sandwich board in the middle and said, all right, this is it. If you're singing now, you are participating in an unsanctioned protest, and we're going to arrest you. I was like, ooh, damn, that seems kind of harsh and unconstitutional, but okay. So I went down, me and Crudy went down and check it out. By the time I arrived, I'm known to be a little late sometimes. Crudy had already been arrested and processed and back out again. I walk in, literally, I think it's 7 minutes from when I closed my car door on the Capitol Square, walked into whatever corridor it was. And if you've been to the Capitol, there's many corridors, and happened to just run into Crudy right there. He's got his entire life in a Ziploc bag. I got arrested. All right, let's go in and check it out. Go in. Bunch of people still hanging around. Some people singing slowly, slowly. And there I was as a member of the media, just observing, taking pictures, getting ready to formulate a plan for a conversation on the radio later that day. And what happens? Well, out of the corner of my eye, I can see him coming. Man, you can smell it. If you've ever been in, I wasn't always bacon. I wasn't always an upstanding, show host. I did a few crimes in my life, never convicted. But I saw him coming. So I put my phone on record and put it in my pocket. And they walk up to me and said, sorry, sir, you're participating in an unsanctioned, unlawful protest and you have to leave. I'm like, well, man, I was just sitting here and reading the sign, taking pictures like everybody else. No, sir, you got to go. Now I'm at this moment in my time. I know I'm not doing anything wrong. Do I punch Officer Fell, who's a little short guy? I mean, I could have taken him. He's about as tall as you, Jess. Do I do that? Because that's always going to be bad when you start fighting the cops. So I complied. I turned around and started to walk away, all so slowly. And the officer, the main guy there, nope, 95 of them. Oh, sorry, sir, you're under arrest. For what? Well, you're under arrest. I'll tell you what, for harassment. Because I was the long-haired, talking on the progressive. Hey, you guys know me. I voted for Scott Walker in the recall, for crying out loud. I wasn't there like throwing bombs. I was just literally hanging out with long hair and flip-flops. I didn't wear my flip-flops today, although it was nice enough out here. And I do have a shorter hair now. That's harassment. I know a little bit about that. And I settled with the state for $75,000 for it. Bring it. 855-752-4842.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on Air. The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
It's the sound of a soda, considered one of the coolest things made in Wisconsin. Jolly Good has been around since the 1960s. Cryer Foods makes it in Random Lake, which is in Sheboygan County. But Cryer started as a canning company in 1913. What was being canned there? Sauerkraut? Peas? Beets? The answer coming up.
At Jolly Good, we believe in quality.
Soda turned into an important revenue stream when production at the canning company slowed in the colder months. So what was being canned there? Sauerkraut? Peas? Beets? All three, plus juice, soups, and more. By the 1960s, Cryer quit canning and went all in on Jolly Good soda.
For flavor and value, Jolly Good's got it.
The latest resurgence of Jolly Good makes it a slice of Wisconsin for yesterday and today. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stuart J. Waddles. I've been into like pistachios. Now they sell them shelled. That's probably my favorite movie snack for when I'm at home.
Are you getting paid by Big Nut? I don't know of anybody that has pistachios during a movie.
Listen, I would love to be paid by Big Nut. I could do cough drops during movies if people would pay
me. Let's redirect here because this could go bad.
Yeah, this guy, I think it already has.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It is a phone line. It is a text line. We got these texters jumping in here. Cam from Appleton, my old stomping ground, says, of Mika and Joe, regardless of them being two-faced, they thought saving, quote-unquote, their own hides is worth wasting the president-elect's time, question mark? They're full of themselves. Mm-hmm. Reader Steve from La Crosse, also my own stomping grounds, man.
You got a lot of stomping grounds.
I've been around, Jess. I've been around. They say, went down to kiss the ring, so sick of us, I don't know who's going to save us. Well, Rita or Steve, here's the big secret. Nobody's coming to save you. You got to save yourself. You know what I'm saying? That ain't happening, folks. And if you think going down and acquiescing and kissing a ring, kissing ass to the fascist is a great idea, well, you know, then there's a spot on MSNBC for you. What else we got here? Dom from Catherine in Madison. Oh, okay. I never lived in Madison, although I do go there quite a bit.
A light walking ground?
Right,
not
right.
Quite stomping.
Not stomping.
But...
Dom, reporting the news has always been dangerous. Reporters can even get killed depending on the circumstances. Oh, yeah. Look what's going on all around the world. Journalists are dying all the time. So there's, you know, there's real danger for journalism. And again, you know, the press is in the Constitution, freedom of the press. And I was looking for the specific quote, but I got the impression, and I don't have it, but here's my takeaway. That Mika and Joe are there to save the press, right? They're going down there to save journalism because it's been so you know, tough on Donald Trump. You know, there's a lot of banging heads. It's confrontational. They're going to go down there and help save the press. Well, excuse me, you're not saving the press. You do not represent the press. When you say you're going to save the press, or that's the impression you give, and I'm gonna open this up to my interpretation. I think you, Joe, I think you, Mika, think that you're doing some grand offering to help save the press from the fascist that you rightly called him. You know how much that sounds like Donald Trump? That only he can fix it? You know what I mean? I kind of get the feeling maybe you, Mika and Joe, are a little proud of the problem. When you come from a place of privilege and wealth and connections and you don't stand up, oh, you got to wait till you got nothing to lose before you stand up? I think it's cowardly. They're not worried about their jobs. They're not worried about, maybe they're worried about their jobs. Maybe they're worried about their social. I mean, I'm not going to say that. But they're certainly not worried about paying the cable bill. You know what I mean? Like, the real problems that people have in this world, they're not dealing with that. They're not saving the press. They're saving their own ass. CNN continued their reporting. Scarborough argued on air Tuesday morning, that's this morning, that the testy's social media reactions, they got a lot of them apparently, were not reflective of the, quote, real world. A quote from Scarborough. We were flooded with phone calls from people all day, literally around the world. Very positive, very supporting, saying, I understand what you did. All of us will do the best we can do, and we're all working toward a better America, he added, prompting Brzezinski to chime in. Take it day by day, people. Day by day, Scarborough affirmed, adding, you can predict the future by shaping the future. And Stelter over at CNN concludes, for now, Scarborough is shaping a less hostile relationship with the incoming president.
Let the sane washing continue.
You know, if you want relationships, get a friend. You want love, yeah. get a spouse, get a dog. Cats sometimes love you when they want, you know.
Cats love a lot. They just, you know, show it in different ways.
That they do. You're not there to make friends, Joe Scarborough. I don't know what you're supposed to do. I don't know what your freaking point is. Former conservative talking the stuff, saying how bad he is, and then going down and kissing the ring. Oh, we're going to open up our lines of communication and make it better. Because according to the reporting, you're scared about perhaps a retribution. I had a little retribution, man. Just a little bit. You know, not on a national scale. You know, just a little local here. Just a little local long-haired guy asking questions of Scott Walker and his crew, you know, kind of planting the seed for what we see now in many ways. Planting the seed corn, as Kind would say. been there, done that. And I'd do it again. Are you kidding me? I don't know what Mika and Joe, what their job description is. I mean, they're hosts. The personalities, are they asking the hard questions, saying the hard things? Are you going to stop doing that now? Now that you guys opened your communication, is he no longer a threat to democracy? Is he no longer a fascist in waiting? Is he no longer a dictator for a day? And we can run the tape on all the things that you folks have said. And I probably agree with most of it, but here's the problem. I still agree with it. Sure, I'd take Trump live. In front of everybody, not down there kissing ass. You don't go to the man's home and kiss his ass and then come back and think that you're going to not lose some viewership. Yeah, and I know CNN, MSNBC finally beat CNN, I think, in the ratings during this last election cycle. I did not turn on MSNBC today. And CNN's fine. You know, there's plenty of news sources out there, folks. Credibility matters. And this bothers me a whole lot. Come back with us. I can't wait to talk about Jesus and Bibles in the school. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm just getting warmed up, folks. 855-752-4842. Join me.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it is Wednesday. That means it's time for public cervix announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks. And we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you'll join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out,
Do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News.